I'm sharing a series of messages which I am calling Prescriptions for Problems. God has given us 66 inspired, holy little books because He knows we have a lot of problems. And if we will open the Word of God with expectancy and confidence, we will discover that God has blueprinted for us in His Word many, many prescriptions for many of the problems we have. The first one, and perhaps the most important one, is one of the first things we read about in the Bible. In the third chapter of Genesis, here you have man and woman just created, put in a garden, and we read, they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Now that may puzzle us a bit. Have you ever seen a voice walk or heard a voice walk? Which would it be? Would you see it or hear it? That's got to be, I think, figurative language, but that's talking about communication, isn't it? A voice is communication, isn't it? They heard the voice of God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid themselves from the presence of the Lord because His voice manifested His presence, or was an expression that came out of His presence. And what they really hid from was not the voice, it was the presence of God. But here we have, in the very beginning of the Bible, a miraculous phenomenon. God wants to communicate with man. God asked man four questions. The first four things God says to man are questions. Where are you? Why did God ask that question? Did He not know where they were? Of course He knew. They didn't know. They were lost. And the first thing a lost person needs to know is that they're lost. So God said, where are you? And they said, well, we'll tell you. We hear your voice. We're not so far from you that we can't hear your voice. But when we hear your voice, it gives us a rush because we're naked. And we know that if we keep listening to your voice, it's going to expose our nakedness. And we don't want that, so we're hiding. That's where we are. And then God responds with, who told you that you were naked? If you read the story, God put them in the garden and told them not to eat from certain trees. And the minute they did, they knew they were naked. God hadn't started talking to them yet, but they knew they were naked. God is hearkening back to that. And He's saying, back there when you knew something about yourself spiritually, that you were naked, who do you think told you that? The Hebrew is not literally who told you, it's who made you know that. Who do you think revealed that to you? The purpose of this second question of God's seems to be, don't you realize I'm communicating with you and you don't even know it? Communication with God, that's the most important communication in this world. Communion, you know, comes from the same word as communication. When God told Moses how His people should worship Him and approach Him in worship, and Moses gave that instruction back there in Exodus, He told him to construct this little tent of worship. And the tent of worship had this holy of holies, this inner chamber, where there was this Ark of the Covenant. It was like a box. And on top of the box were these cherubim. And God said to Moses, my presence is going to dwell in that box, in that ark. And between the wings of those cherubim, that's where you come and worship me. People like David were constantly in the tent of worship. They were constantly saying, commune with me. And they would approach God's presence through the tent of worship. Now, the Shekinah glory of God literally dwelt in that box. When the captivity prophets like Ezekiel and Daniel were in captivity, this is why Daniel always faced Jerusalem when he prayed. That's where God's presence was, in Jerusalem. But when Jesus met that woman at the well in John chapter 4, He said a revolutionary thing about worship to a Jew or to a Samaritan. They were discussing the difference between the Jewish approach to God and the Samaritan approach. And the woman had asked the question, you Jews claim you have God in a box there in Jerusalem. We say we have Him out here on Mount Gerizim. Now, who's right? But when Jesus responded to that question of hers, He said this revolutionary thing about worship. He said, nobody has God in a box. God is a spirit. But Jesus said to that woman at the well, it isn't like this anymore. It's not like God is in the Ark of the Covenant. Now, He's anywhere you want to come to Him and approach Him and worship Him. and know him in spirit and in truth. So for us, communication with God means that all we have to do is make a time and make a place. Do you value communication with God enough to set aside a time? D.L. Moody used to say, if you're going to commune with God, you have to do it before the people get up or after they go to bed. You'll never do it while people are moving around. They'll interrupt you too much. Well, is it worth getting up early before the people get up or staying up late after the people go to bed to communicate with God? When Jesus met Nathanael, he blew him away by saying, I'm the one you've been having all that rapport with under the fig tree. Apparently, Nathanael was a godly man, and he worshiped God under a fig tree every day. And nobody knew about it but him. And when he asked the question, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? And Jesus had said to him, you know, behold an Israelite in whom there is no guile. This Nathanael must have been holy. Nathanael said, how do you know me? And he said, I've been rapping with you under the fig tree, Nathanael. And Nathanael said, you're the Son of God. You're the King of it. Boy, he just got blown away by that because nobody knew about that but him. Do you have a fig tree? Do you have a place? Do you have a time when you commune with him? Imagine God saying to us, commune with me. That's what you have in Genesis 3. God saying, I'm communicating with you, and I want you to communicate with me. Commune with me. Come and worship me. I'll meet you there if you'll set aside a time and a place. That's the most important communication there is. And what's the purpose of that communication? Well, it's to get to know God. It's to worship God, because to know him is to love him, and worship's just expressing your love for him. It's also to pray to him, to come and cast all your care upon him, and then discover that he cares for you. To come to his throne of grace, which is what he calls it, that you might receive mercy. You don't deserve anything. So anything you get at the throne of grace is grace and mercy. So you receive mercy and grace to help in your time of need. He says, come boldly, because I'll meet you there if you come. Now that's the most important communication in the world. But there's another dimension to communication, and this is found in Psalm 4. This is one of my favorite psalms. The psalmist has already discovered the first dimension of communication. He says, know that the Lord has set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. He knows that. He's discovered that. He's also made this discovery. The Lord has enlarged me when I was in distress. When do you really commune with him? Isn't it when you're in a ringer and you just don't know what to do? That's when most of us talk to God. I don't put that down. I thank God for a foxhole theology. Some of the best theology that's ever been has come out of a foxhole. And some of the best communication with God has come out of a time of distress. When I was in distress, that's when you stretched me. That's when you really communicated with me, when I was hurting. He's discovered those things. But he tells us about another dimension of communication when he says, commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Isn't that interesting? Commune with your own heart upon your bed. What does that mean? Henry David Thoreau went to a post office once near the place where he was out in the woods all the time in his solitude. And there was a man coming out of the post office ahead of him with a lot of letters he'd received. And he was just overjoyed at all these letters, looking at one return address after another. And David Thoreau said to him, how long's it been since you've heard from yourself? Isn't that interesting? How long's it been since you heard from yourself? You're hearing from all these people, but how long's it been since you've heard from yourself? Is it possible to hear from yourself? What he's really telling us about here is talking to yourself. Well, Psalm 4 says, talk to yourself. Have a little board meeting with yourself in the middle of the night. See, he's in distress, and apparently he can't sleep. And so he has a little communication with himself. He communes with his own heart upon his bed. You see, man has to think about how he's going to respond to the things that God is making him know. In Genesis 3, God asked all these questions because he wanted man to think about where he was and about who was communicating with him. Ever notice how much Jesus did that? Jesus asked 83 questions just in the Gospel of Matthew. What think ye? What do you think? He didn't just say, here it is. What do you think about it? He got people to think. Having done a lot of marriage counseling, I've observed that when you're counseling people in a marriage relationship, in the first 5 minutes, you're probably going to hear the word communication. We just don't have any communication. I remember after hearing that many, many times, I began asking people, did you ever have good communication? People don't get married when they're not talking. Nearly all, oh yes, we did. Well, what happened? I did an experiment for 10 years. I asked couples, will you make a list for me of all the reasons why you think your communication broke down? Communication breakdown comes in different sizes. Sometimes it's no communication. Somebody just treats somebody else with silent contempt, you know, the deep freeze. That's one form of communication problem. Another is where the anger comes out. They can't communicate for 5 minutes without throwing things. Now, the dictionary says this kind of communication is a giving and receiving of information, messages, and ideas by talk, gestures, or other means. Among other things, that definition says there's no such thing as not communicating. The variables are, what are you communicating and how are you communicating it? But you're always communicating. I had a man call me once and said, could you give my wife a call? I think she's upset. And I said, why do you think she's upset? He said, well, as I was driving out the driveway, the last thing to hit the car was one of my golf trophies. And I said, oh, well, where were you going? He said, to play golf. I said, don't you think there's a message in that somewhere? I mean, don't you think she tried to tell you something? See, that's communication. A slam door, a fist through the wall, a sigh of contempt or a sigh of despair. All of these things are communication. There's no such thing as not communicating. The variables are just what are you communicating and how are you communicating it. This horizontal communication, as we might call it, is a two-way street. It's a giving and receiving, or you might say a talking and a listening. So the communication problems are also a two-way street. I heard about a woman who went to a marriage counselor, and she said, we just got to have a divorce. That's all. We got to have a divorce. And he said, well, do you have grounds? And she said, we got grounds, man. We got 15 acres. And he said, oh, I understand. Okay. Well, a little later, he said, do you have a grudge? And she said, no, we have a carport. So finally he asked, does he beat you up every morning? She said, no, I get up before he does. And after about a half a dozen of those, he said, well, frankly, just what is the problem? She said, I just can't carry on a conversation with that man. We're all like turtles, they say, when it comes to communication. When we communicate, we're coming out from under our shell. And if we don't get the right response, if we're scolded or laughed at, and after a lot of that negative reception, couples sit in their homes or condos or apartments like two turtles pulled way back into their shells, and nobody's communicating because nobody wants to get hurt. They say when you communicate, really communicate with someone, it's as if you're putting your heart in their hand, and they can do anything they want to do with it. They can squeeze it, they can throw it down and step on it, or again, worst of all, they can ignore it. Many people stop communicating because of the way the communication's received. So it's a two-way street, and it's a two-dimensional problem. If you want your horizontal communication to be what it should be, then work on your vertical communication first. Make sure you go to the quiet place and set aside the quiet time and hear from God and let God control your heart, be in communication with Him, and then experience the internal dimension of communication. You pray about how you're going to respond to the things God is trying to make you know. And then you'll find that you're a whole lot more prepared for this horizontal communication dimension. All those circuit breakers people told me about when I asked them, you know, why did you stop talking? Or why do you always get angry when you talk to your spouse? They had so many turn up on lists over a 10-year period. I put together 24 of them, and I call them circuit breakers because they turned up most frequently And as I analyzed those circuit breakers, they fell into categories. Some fell under what I called the sinful, selfish factor in communication, just like with anger. If the reason for your anger is you want your own way and somebody's blocking your way, that's sinful, self-centered anger. Same thing can be true with communication. I had a lot of women report this circuit breaker. He isn't listening. He comes home from work and I say the baby found his thumb today, and he couldn't care less about the baby finding his thumb. He's worried about business problems. He's staring out the window, or he picks up the newspaper or turns on the boob tube. If I realize he's not listening, that means he doesn't care. And that means he has his own agenda. That means he's selfish. To really listen, that means you've got to be unselfish. But I saw a lot of these factors turn up as sinful, selfish factors. Some of them were psychological factors. I mean, some people are made different from other people. Some people never learn to communicate. The way people are raised, they express themselves differently. That doesn't mean they're not communicating. Some people show affection outwardly, and some do not. That doesn't mean there's no love. It's just the way it's expressed or shared. Some people are very verbal, and some people are not. They say it's a beautiful thing to be with someone with whom you don't have to talk to be close. Isn't that a wonderful idea? Communion is the same thing as communication. It just means a deeper blending of hearts than just conversation. It's not just talk. It's gestures or other means. There's a practical factor in communication circuit breakers. And the practical factor has to do with things like time and place for the different kinds of communication. Valuing communication enough to make a time and a place for it. The Apostle Paul gives us some great insights into this practical factor in horizontal communication. He asked the question in one of the scriptures we read, if I cause you pain, who is there to make me glad but the one whom I have pained? Isn't that a great insight? That's just good common sense, I guess. And then Paul said this to the Corinthians. He said, if you get it in the Greek, it's a lot clearer. He sort of says this, our hearts have flaps on them. And I want you to know, Corinthians, the flap of my heart is open toward you, but your flap is closed toward me. You put the flaps down toward me. Your heart is not open toward me. And then he's saying, open the flaps of your heart. Very often, married people start their marriage heart to heart with the flaps open. Most of them start that way. But it isn't long before they're back to back with the flaps down, and the communication shop is closed. They're not communicating. The practical factor says, you know, open the flaps of your heart and be heart to heart with open communication between you. And this should be applied to believers in our spiritual community, especially I think of our small groups. The hymn writer speaks of mystic sweet communion with those whose rest is one. What about mystic sweet communion with those who are still here? I think God wants us to have a mystic sweet communion as believers with one another. Certainly as Christian man and wife, parent and child, He wants us to have communion, not just communication. Now we've thought about the purpose of vertical communication, the purpose of internal communication. What's the purpose of horizontal communication? Paul says the purpose is, in one word, edification. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Instead of corrupt communications, communications that tear people down coming out of your mouth. He said, communicate in a way that you will minister grace to the hearer, that you will edify them. That's an old King James word that means to build them up. Build them up. Build them up. Don't ever tear them down. Build them up. That's the purpose of horizontal communication. The prescription, however, is this. If you want the horizontal communication to be what it should be, there's not only a practical factor, there's not only a sinful, selfish factor to be considered or a psychological factor, there's a spiritual factor to be considered. If you're communicating with God, then your heart has been dealt with in such a way that it won't be at the center and won't cause these sinful, selfish circuit breakers in your communication. May I ask you this morning, how long has it been since you heard from God? How long has it been since you've heard from yourself? How long has it been since you've heard from each other?
What do you think about it?
He got people to think. Having done a lot of marriage counseling, I've observed that when you're counseling people in a marriage relationship, in the first 5 minutes, you're probably going to hear the word communication. We just don't have any communication. I remember after hearing that many, many times, I began asking people, did you ever have good communication? People don't get married when they're not talking. Nearly all, oh yes, we did. Well, what happened? I did an experiment for 10 years. I asked couples, will you make a list for me of all the reasons why you think your communication broke down? Communication breakdown comes in different sizes. Sometimes it's no communication. Somebody just treats somebody else with silent contempt, you know, the deep freeze. That's one form of communication problem. Another is where the anger comes out. They can't communicate for 5 minutes without throwing things. Now, the dictionary says this kind of communication is a giving and receiving of information, messages, and ideas by talk, gestures, or other means. Among other things, that definition says there's no such thing as not communicating. The variables are, what are you communicating and how are you communicating it? But you're always communicating. I had a man call me once and said, could you give my wife a call? I think she's upset. And I said, why do you think she's upset? He said, well, as I was driving out the driveway, the last thing to hit the car was one of my golf trophies. And I said, oh, well, where were you going? He said, to play golf. I said, don't you think there's a message in that somewhere? I mean, don't you think she tried to tell you something? See, that's communication. A slam door, a fist through the wall, a sigh of contempt or a sigh of despair. All of these things are communication. There's no such thing as not communicating. The variables are just what are you communicating and how are you communicating it. This horizontal communication, as we might call it, is a two-way street. It's a giving and receiving, or you might say a talking and a listening. So the communication problems are also a two-way street. I heard about a woman who went to a marriage counselor, and she said, we just got to have a divorce. That's all. We got to have a divorce. And he said, well, do you have grounds? And she said, we got grounds, man. We got 15 acres. And he said, oh, I understand. Okay. Well, a little later, he said, do you have a grudge? And she said, no, we have a carport. So finally he asked, does he beat you up every morning? She said, no, I get up before he does. And after about a half a dozen of those, he said, well, frankly, just what is the problem? She said, I just can't carry on a conversation with that man. We're all like turtles, they say, when it comes to communication. When we communicate, we're coming out from under our shell. And if we don't get the right response, if we're scolded or laughed at, and after a lot of that negative reception, couples sit in their homes or condos or apartments like two turtles pulled way back into their shells, and nobody's communicating because nobody wants to get hurt. They say when you communicate, really communicate with someone, it's as if you're putting your heart in their hand, and they can do anything they want to do with it. They can squeeze it, they can throw it down and step on it, or again, worst of all, they can ignore it. Many people stop communicating because of the way the communication's received. So it's a two-way street and it's a two-dimensional problem. If you want your horizontal communication to be what it should be, then work on your vertical communication first. Make sure you go to the quiet place and set aside the quiet time and hear from God and let God control your heart. Be in communication with Him, and then experience the internal dimension of communication. You pray about how you're going to respond to the things God is trying to make you know, and then you'll find that you're a whole lot more prepared for this horizontal communication dimension. all those circuit breakers people told me about when I asked them, you know, why did you stop talking? Or why do you always get angry when you talk to your spouse? They had so many turn up on list over a 10-year period. I put together 24 of them, and I call them circuit breakers because they turned up most frequently. And as I analyzed those circuit breakers, they fell into categories. Some fell under what I called the sinful, selfish factor in communication, just like with anger. If the reason for your anger is you want your own way and somebody's blocking your way, that's sinful, self-centered anger. Same thing can be true with communication. I had a lot of women report this circuit breaker. He isn't listening. He comes home from work and I say the baby found his thumb today, and he couldn't care less about the baby finding his thumb. He's worried about business problems. He's staring out the window, or he picks up the newspaper or turns on the boob tube. If I realize he's not listening, that means he doesn't care. And that means he has his own agenda. That means he's selfish. To really listen, that means you've got to be unselfish. But I saw a lot of these factors turn up as sinful, selfish factors. Some of them were psychological factors. I mean, some people are made different from other people. Some people never learn to communicate. The way people are raised, they express themselves differently. That doesn't mean they're not communicating. Some people show affection outwardly, and some do not. That doesn't mean there's no love. It's just the way it's expressed or shared. Some people are very verbal, and some people are not. They say it's a beautiful thing to be with someone with whom you don't have to talk to be close. Isn't that a wonderful idea? Communion is the same thing as communication. It just means a deeper blending of hearts than just conversation. It's not just talk. It's gestures or other means. There's a practical factor in communication circuit breakers. And the practical factor has to do with things like time and place for the different kinds of communication. Valuing communication enough to make a time and a place for it. The Apostle Paul gives us some great insights into this practical factor in horizontal communication. He asked the question in one of the scriptures we read, if I cause you pain, who is there to make me glad but the one whom I have pained? Isn't that a great insight? That's just good common sense, I guess. And then Paul said this to the Corinthians. He said, if you get it in the Greek, it's a lot clearer. He sort of says this, our hearts have flaps on them. And I want you to know, Corinthians, flap on my heart is open toward you, but your flap is closed toward me. You've put the flaps down toward me. Your heart is not open toward me. And then he's saying, open the flaps of your heart. Very often, married people start their marriage heart to heart with the flaps open. Most of them start that way. But it isn't long before they're back to back with the flaps down. And the communication shop is closed. They're not communicating. The practical factor says, you know, open the flaps of your heart and be heart to heart with open communication between you. And this should be applied to believers in our spiritual community, especially I think of our small groups. The hymn writer speaks of mystic sweet communion with those whose rest is won. What about mystic sweet communion with those who are still here? I think God wants us to have a mystic sweet communion as believers with one another. Certainly as Christian man and wife, parent and child, he wants us to have communion, not just communication. Now, we thought about the purpose of vertical communication, the purpose of internal communication. What's the purpose of horizontal communication? Paul says the purpose is, in one word, edification. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Instead of corrupt communications that tear people down coming out of your mouth, he said, communicate in a way that you will minister grace to the hearer, that you will edify them. That's an old King James word that means to build them up. Build them up. Build them up. Don't ever tear them down. Build them up. That's a purpose of horizontal communication. The prescription, however, is this. If you want the horizontal communication to be what it should be, there's not only a practical factor, there's not only a sinful, selfish factor to be considered or a psychological factor, there's a spiritual factor to be considered. If you're communing with God, then your heart has been dealt with in such a way that it won't be at the center and won't cause these sinful, selfish circuit breakers in your communication. May I ask you this morning, how long has it been since you heard from God? How long has it been since you've heard from yourself? How long has it been since you've heard from each other?